Men, I started by sharing a little bit of a kind of a story about a young boy. Heard the circus was coming in town. He begged and pleaded with his dad, "Dad, can I have a dollar so I can go to the circus?" And his dad, you know, was kind of like, a dollar at that time was a lot of money. And he said, you know, finally he broke down and said, "Okay, if you do all your chores and you do this, this, and this, you get it all done by then, I'll give you a dollar and you can go." So, you know, of course, he worked harder than he'd ever worked before. He gets the dollar. He comes down into the town. As he's coming into the town, the circus parade has started. And he's watching the lions and the monkeys and all the things go by. He's so excited, his heart is fluttering, and he just can't believe himself that he's seeing the circus. And then the clowns go by, and he pulls the dollar out, and he gives it to the clown. He says, "Thank you so much for the circus." And then he goes home. But that parade was just heading into the big tent so that they could have the circus. And in Christianity, I think that happens a lot. I was putting it on my heart last week, after I shared last week and this week here, as I was just going through the week. He says, you know, it's not just about salvation. It's more than just getting to heaven. It's more than just being okay. But it's about his kingdom. Of course, he doesn't need us. Can we agree with that? He's God. He spoke everything into existence. He doesn't need us. But he wants you. He created you with a purpose and with value. And he wants you to be a part of what he's doing. And he doesn't want you to miss out. He doesn't want you to be like that little boy that paid the dollar, said that was a good circus, when that was just the beginning. That was just the parade. It's more than just salvation. It's more than just being okay. But it's opening our lives to this adventure. Or, as one version of the Bible says, the quest. And that quest is not to get to heaven. Because reality is, if you have Jesus in your heart, you can't help but go there. Because there's nowhere else for you. But our quest is to be more like Christ. Less of me and more of him. And as we participate with him, as we walk in the Spirit, as we allow Holy Spirit to lead us, Holy Spirit will never lead us to something different, but he will always lead us to Christ. He'll always bring us back to him. He'll always lead us in the ways of truth and in life and what he has. That's Holy Spirit's job. And I'm so thankful for him. We started with Galatians. You'll see in your bulletin, there's the flyer that we had last week. There's tons of verses on there. I put it there just in case you're having a hard time flipping pages. If you have your Bible, you can turn with them. I'm just going to kind of recap for a second, and then I'm going to jump right in. And that we walk in the Spirit to the degree that we fellowship with the Spirit. I told you, I've grown up in church all my life. And I look at some and I'm like, oh, if I could just have a little bit of what they have, I would run and chase after, lay hands on me, just pray and release that upon me. And you know, there is an element of that, yes, where we can lay hands upon and we can release the gift or we can empower the gift in someone, absolutely. But there's a part that we can't get. And that's that discipline. That's that self-control. That's that part we can't get from someone else. That's from Holy Spirit. That's all a part of what he does inside of our life. And the only way to get that is to surrender to him. And say, have your way. And the more we fellowship with Holy Spirit, the more we walk with him. The less we fellowship with him, the less we read our Bible, the less we pray, the less we focus on him, the less we think about him or invite him into our heart, is the further we seem away from God. God never intended it to be this way. He wants us to walk in the rhythm of his grace. That we would easily sense him, but it all happens in rhythm of the more we talk with him and have fellowship with him, the more we move with him. It's simple. The more I spend time with my wife, the closer we get. The less time I spend with her, the more chances for things to slide in the middle and cause disunity and dysfunction. 2 Corinthians 13:14 says, "The love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." Not just for a select few, but with everyone. God deposited into our spirit the seed of his very being, Holy Spirit. It's God the Father, God the Son, God Holy Spirit. It's not Casper the ghost. It's the Holy Spirit. It's part of who God is. And he's deposited inside of each and every one of us. The internal, uncreated life of God came to live inside of you the moment you said yes to Jesus, the moment you surrendered your heart to him. One of the purposes for this was to destroy the works of darkness in us. Oh, death, where is your sting? You got no hold on me now. The person born of God no longer has to sin, nor lives in habitual sin as they formerly did, because spirit wages war against the flesh. It has no hold on us anymore. And if you're here today and you're, but Pastor, you know, I'm struggling. You know what? Let me just take a half a step back and say, hey, God, you're bigger than this. I'm trying it on my own. I'll do the little Dr. Phil thing for a moment. How's it working for you? Doesn't work really well when I try it on my own. But when I allow Holy Spirit to take the lead, every time. It might be instant, might be a journey, but every time, whether it's a journey or instant, he always leads me into truth, into life. He leads me down the right way. It's putting our faith and our trust in him. 1 John 3:8-9 says, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, and his seed remains in him." Listen to me. It doesn't mean that I don't do wrong things and I don't sin. But what he's done is I don't have to anymore. Oh, I still fail. Pastor Phil still messes up. I think things maybe I shouldn't. I say things rashly and quickly. And that, but I don't have to anymore. And the more I fellowship with him, the more I spend time and I invite him in every area of my life, as I walk with the Spirit, man, I find myself all of a sudden, all the things of this earth, they just go strangely dim. They don't have the stickiness anymore. And that's not just something for a pastor. That's for every one of us, that he's created this and he's opened it for us. In Hebrews 7, in the latter part of verse 16, it says, "According to the power of an indestructible life." Jesus said, you know, "I've come to give you life and life more abundant." Amen? Well, part of that life and life more abundant, that indestructible life, is Holy Spirit, who's dwelling inside of you. And that indestructible life, that's why the Bible talks about in Romans, it says, you know, what weapon formed against you can prosper? If God be for you, if Holy Spirit be in you, who and what could be against you? Oh, we have to understand, there is no one and nothing can take the love of God from you. There is no one and nothing that can destroy you. It's an indestructible life now that's inside of you, now that we've been born again. And Holy Spirit protects that. Holy Spirit is that indestructible life inside of you. Our problem is if we forget God in the equation. Like the 10 spies that forgot him when they went into the promised land and they saw the big giants and the big fortified cities and, oh, they're big. They didn't lie, but they just forgot God. Whereas Joshua and Caleb, they said, yeah, that's true. There's big cities. Yes. But our God's greater. Our God's bigger. Because they didn't forget the great I Am dwells. He's real. He lives inside of you and me. That's part of the new covenant of what Jesus has given to us and what he has spoken. We need to put on the new man who is being renewed according to the image of him in Colossians 3:10. I shared last week, I talked about him and that trying to give us an illustrative thing. If we are like the glove, there's not much form and shape depending on what glove you have. If you have winter gloves, some winter gloves, because of the extra little plastic layer inside or the stiffness, they can stand straight up. But to get any real function out of a glove, you got to put a hand inside of it. Amen? And Holy Spirit is simply saying, let me be the hand inside of you. And he says, when I put my hand inside of you, it not only takes shape, but now it can accomplish true things in the spiritual realm. Oh, there's many people on this earth, they can tie their shoes, they can drive a car, they can do all sorts of stuff. Absolutely. It's not that if someone doesn't have Jesus, doesn't have a Holy Spirit, they can't do anything in life. Sometimes we get crazy and we try to say things like that. That's not true at all. We can do all sorts of good things. But at the end of the day is, for things that count for eternity, things that are a part of God's purposes and his plans, strategically, not by just fluke or random that, you know, God moves or shifts us, someone that's not saved, and he shifts their heart to fund something, to do something, to rearrange, but that we can actively participate with God, we need to allow him to be the hand inside of our glove. We need to allow him to have control of our life. Not just part of it, but every part. How does that happen? By fellowshipping with him. By taking time. It's never a waste of time to pray. I tell you, it sure feels like it sometimes, doesn't it? Man, I'm not getting anything done. Man, if I just get up, I could call people, I could do this, I could go here, we could go chase another doctor, we could do this, we could do that. Especially as guys, we're fixers. We just got to fix everything. Got to make everything right. And God's just trying to get us to breathe a little bit and say, whoa, wait a second here. Don't forget me. I can do all things. You can't do anything. So the Bible tells us, we can't do anything on our own. But with Christ who dwells in me, I can do all things through Christ who dwells in me. Amen? So it's reminding ourselves what it's really all about and what he's doing. We simply reflect what we look at most. Out of the abundance of the heart, everything flows. Hebrews 12:29 says, for our God is a consuming fire. Remember Moses in Exodus 34:29? When he came off the mountain after meeting with God, his face shone. It was so bright that the people all were hollering out, say, cover your face, cover your face. And Moses didn't even realize he was glowing. That light of God that's inside of you and me, that indestructible life, should be very evident to everyone around us. And that light gets brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter because he says, from glory to glory, I'm at work in your life. And if you have one of those off days and you're just like, oh man, I'm not really a good Christian today, or I'm not that, you just pause for a moment and say, you know what? Stop with the pity patter, Phil. Just speak to yourself for a moment. It's okay. Be schizo for a moment. It's all right in the spiritual realm. Say, Phil, you know, don't be like that. And remind yourself that Jesus says that he's not finished with you yet. For he that began a good work will, he's not done yet. So when you're having one of those moments and the pity party starts, speak to yourself and say, whoa, God's not finished with me yet. Okay, all right, now what? Get back up, Phil, and let's keep walking. Let's keep trusting God. Don't play in the mud. I used to love playing in the mud, and little boys, we all do. But as we grow up in our faith, we start to learn, wait a second here, I don't have to play in that mud anymore. When someone speaks a word over me, when I get a disappointment or something else happens, I don't have to kick and flounder in it anymore. I can get myself up. And yeah, I might have some mud on me for a moment, but you give it a few moments and breath of God breathes upon you, it becomes dust and it starts falling all off. He's got you. He'll never leave you alone. He has you. We just need to remember to trust in him. Our words and other words, people's words, quench or they release the activity of Holy Spirit more than anything else. So here's a principle. We walk in the Spirit by talking with the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit by talking with the Spirit. I know it sounds pretty simple, but that's as simple as it is. He didn't make this complicated. The fundamental and basic way to walk in the Spirit is by maintaining an active dialogue, conversation with Holy Spirit. This is the key to our transformation and our renewal. It is so simple that it causes many people to miss it all the time. And our words, we create everything around us by what we speak. And that's why when someone speaks something over your life that is not truth, right away you just pause and say, well, take a half a step back and say, you know what, that's actually not true. Whether you get into that with the person, whatever, but in your heart, you need to have a half a step back and you need to replace that lie with truth. The way to break a lie is to speak. The way to break a curse is to speak a blessing. Amen? And that we need to come to this place to understand it. This is as simple as it is. There is no weapon formed against you that will prosper unless you sabotage your life yourself. Unless you grab a hold of that lie and you allow it to dwell inside. You give it permission. Amen? Oh, the devil's got nothing on us. Oh, we need to be aware of him. We need to understand that, wait a second here, there is an enemy that is out to rob, kill, and destroy. Amen? We got to understand that, but we can't give him so much credit. Because our God is bigger. Our God is greater. Man, death and hell, Satan, he have nothing on him. It's not a UFC fight or a WWF, the old school fights, and that where Jesus is in the ring and Satan and they're just pal driving each other and going at it. Not at all. They're not even in the same ring. And if they were in the same ring, this would be a pale of comparison. Jesus would be standing there and he'd be a million feet tall and the devil would be a speck of sand. Not even in the same competition and even the same realm. So we can't put them in the same place. The reality is, if I step in the ring against the enemy, if I try to resist him, he's not fleeing from me. Because he's a million feet tall, and I'm but a speck of sand. On my own, I can do nothing. We got to remind ourselves of that because we get puffed up a lot and we think we're the king and we got it. But reality is we don't. We don't have anything. When it comes in the spiritual realm, what do I fight the devil? It's like shadow boxing. You just don't know where he is. Whereas all of a sudden we start to pause and we remind ourselves, wait a second. The Bible tells me the Lord will fight my battle. My battle's not against flesh and blood. The Lord's going to fight my battle. That's why we can turn the other cheek. That's why we can stand strong. That's why when you've done everything to stand, you can still stand knowing that if God before you, you know what, if it gets really bad, he even promises he'll give us a way out. Exit right now. And you just walk out of it and it's like, oh, thank you, God. He's got you. You're not alone. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. If we just talk with him, he will talk back. He will speak to us once he gets us into a conversation. He speaks to us by giving us subtle impressions in our heart, sometimes releasing power on our mind to think about something, to imagine something into our heart. If we respond to them, he also talks us out of sinning and out of quitting. Oh, how many times are we so easily to quit because the things in front of us look so grand and so big and so impassable? But when we start having a conversation with the Holy Spirit, then he reminds us, no, this is the way to walk. Walk in it. Be bold, be strong, for the Lord thy God is with you. And he starts to speak into our spirit. And that the Bible talks about another time when we begin to pray and you don't know what to pray. Holy Spirit then gives you what to pray. He's the indestructible life. Even when you and I might feel like quitting, even you and I might feel like, man, I can't do anymore. I can't handle anymore. That's the times that we need to come to that place. One of my one of the biggest guys in my church, like I thought he looked like a guy way when I was a little kid from WWF, Bam Bam Bigelow. Like he was just big. He was massive, bald hair, just a big guy. He came in front and God just spoke into his heart once and he began to start to talk about just what God was doing in his life. And he says, you know, Phil, and he says, Pastor, he says, you know, church, he says, God's been really showing me that it's only in the Christian faith. The way to gain victory is by surrendering. He says, it makes no sense. I'm big, I'm strong, I could do all sorts of things. But God's starting to teach me that the way for me to have victory in my life and in this world is first through surrender. When I surrender to him, I realize I'm not that big at all. But he is. And I surrender my life to allow him to lead me. So it's not just about salvation. It's much more. Jesus died on the cross, not just about salvation, but that you and I could be a part of the kingdom. We could be partakers of bringing a little bit of heaven down to earth. We could be partakers in that in inviting others to be a part of the family of God. We could be partakers in speaking the blessing. We could be partakers in releasing goodness to others. We could be his hands and we could be his feet. Oh, it's much more than just being okay and making it. Because if you ask Jesus in your heart, there's nowhere else you can go but to heaven. He didn't create a million places. And so in that part as we realize, whoa, wait, there's more to this. When we talk to the Holy Spirit as a way of experiencing the release of his power in our inner man, we talk with him, we spend time with him, all of a sudden we start sensing his presence. All of a sudden we start realizing we replace words like coincidence or luck, are words that we hear all the time. We start replacing them because now we start to realize, wait a minute here. Wait, I just prayed about that. That can't be coincidence. Maybe the first time you run it off a little bit, maybe the second time, but all of a sudden you keep praying and you asking the Lord and you invite him into a circumstance and all of a sudden something shifts. All of a sudden he gets released and you get that good report you're asking for. All of a sudden this, which was something you got negative and now you get a positive. All of a sudden you start realizing, whoa, wait a second here. This isn't mind over matter. This isn't pop psychology. This isn't any of that. This is the living God is actually breathing in my life and he's speaking through my life that I can be a part of what he's doing. Sunday nights, that's what we've been teaching people is how to hear the voice of God. How to hear his voice and actually walk with him. And I tell you, you know what? It's pretty amazing. Sitting back, and sometimes I'll sit back and I'll just watch God speak words out of people's hearts as they say, you know, okay, I'll coin a favorite line of one of the people. They'll say, I don't really hear from God that well, you know, but I'm just going to say, you know, what God put on my heart. So they speak it out, and then someone on the other side of the room says, that's for me. How did you know that? That like God was speaking right to my heart when you spoke that. Well, God wants to speak to people. But how many know sometimes he just wants to use your voice? Not because he needs you, but because he wants you. He wants you to be a part of it. He loves you so much that he doesn't want you to miss out on anything. We need to focus on the presence of the indwelling Holy Spirit. We need to talk with Holy Spirit. Because Holy Spirit is waging war against sin, against those fiery darts the Bible talks about. He's doing that battle on our behalf. Many put their primary focus on the necessities of denying the sinful desires, and they put all their effort in, I'm going to fight it, I'm going to do better, I'm going to break this habit, I'm going to do this, I'm going to. Listen to me. When you get the part of I, it's a sure sign that either you are already deceived in that area of your life or the enemy is working on deceiving you. That might be harsh, but it's true. It's the truth that sets us free. Satan fell with the great seven eyes. And he went on with the eyes, I'm greater, I want, I. That's a reflection of him. No longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. If you find yourself saying, I don't like this, I don't this, or I'm this, or I this, or I this, or I that, it's a reflection that the enemy is trying to work against you. And the way to overcome him is by submitting to God. God, it's not about me anymore. What is it that you're trying to do here that I'm not seeing? What is it that you're trying to speak here that I'm missing? And we pause and reflect again, you're fighting my battle. Why am I spending so much energy trying to fight all of this? Lord, guide me. Whatever way you tell me to walk, I'll walk in it. Oh, it'll be work. Amen? How many know it's work to be a Christian? If it were easy, everyone would do it. Why? Because there's good morals, good principles in there. You know, like it's not that bad. It's actually pretty good for society and helps society move along. But we can't do it on our own strength. We need Holy Spirit inside of us. Holy Spirit removes the darkness and he turns on the light. John 1:5 says, light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend, or another version says, overpower it. Satan has nothing on God. It's time that we exalt Christ back to that high place, and we lift him to that high place. We behold and know the Holy Spirit by beholding or gazing upon Christ. We pray, thank you, Holy Spirit, for your indwelling power and your leadership in me. That living flame of love. I don't know about you, but I take time and I try to thank Holy Spirit. Thank him for all that he's doing in my life. Without him, man, I wouldn't find Jesus. Without him, I wouldn't have any help. I wouldn't know where to go. That's why Jesus says it's good for me to go, because if I go, I'll send the Comforter to be with you. John 14:17 says, the Spirit whom the world could not receive because it neither sees him, it does not behold him, the NAS says, or knows him, but you know him. You know him, for he will be with you. Another portion of scripture says, my sheep know my voice. Have you ever been around a baby that's kind of a little fussing, crying? Sometimes, what do we say? Yes, five of them, right? And that, not the oldest one, though. And that, but reality is some, you know, we might say, wow, you've got the touch, and you can just get that baby to sleep. But sometimes, no matter what you do, it's just not working. But in comes mom, or in comes dad into the scene, and they start to speak their voice, and something shifts, because that baby knows. The baby knows the voice. And there's some strength, there's a comfort, there's a peace that goes around that voice. He says, my sheep, he says, my sons and daughters, we know his voice. And there's something about it. There's a peace that comes in the middle. There's something about it that just changes, that we feel like, wow, he's here with me. He says, we know his voice. We receive the Holy Spirit's benefits and the prophetic activity by beholding him, knowing him, and by the strength of our relationship that we allow him to have. As we allow him to lead us and we allow him to take the lead, all of a sudden we start to realize, wait a minute, I'm hearing God's voice a whole lot more than I ever did. I'm hearing him more. My heart is beating more. I don't know about you. I've been saved like most of my life. I grew up on the front pew of a church, and I remember to wee hours of the night, I'm in the church. I'm in there early in the morning because my parents served, and that I was just in the building all the time. And in the middle of that, I'm telling you now, it does get sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. It only gets better. I'm hearing God now more than I've ever heard him. And it's not because, oh, God finally woke up from his nap. No, it's I finally woke up. And I'm allowing him to have a lot more control of my life. I'm getting out of the way a little bit more, and I'm allowing him to fill a little more space in my glove. I know I get in trouble by saying a lot of different things, but I really need a lot. I don't need more of God. He needs more of me. The moment I asked Jesus in my heart, I got all of him. He didn't give me baby Jesus, and I have to wait for baby Jesus to get teenager Jesus and then big Jesus, and then I finally arrive. Same Holy Spirit that dwelt in Jesus dwells in you and me. It's not a problem with God. We've allowed that to flow in the church for too long. That God's the problem. He's withholding. He's not doing his part. God's always doing his part. Always. It's not that I need more of him. He just needs more of us. He's saying, will you let me be the hand and the glove? Will you let me lead? Will you let me move in your life so that you can see all that I have? Romans 7, 21, and moving into chapter 8, verse 2, it says, I find then a law or principle that evil is present with me. The one who sits, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God, but I see another law or principle in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God, though, that ongoing encounter with him, Jesus Christ, our Lord, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin. Paul describes that we're in a fierce war, in a fierce battle. And that on our own, we mess it up a lot. But when we allow him to lead us, when we allow him to move in our life, everything shifts. The law is an activity that happens in a consistent way with the same results. It's a principle that has been proven or holding true. It functions the same way each time. God does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. For example, the law of gravity works 100% of the time. True? Unless a greater law is introduced. When the engine of a plane has fuel and it's turned on, then it overpowers the law of gravity. What goes up must come. But yet a plane, when it's fueled and the engines are working right, it's a greater principle, a greater law than the law of gravity, and it goes up and up and up. As long as it's got fuel, it keeps going. It overpowers the law of gravity by activating the law of aerodynamics. It is a law because it functions consistently. The law of the Spirit of life speaks of the consistent principle of Holy Spirit's power in us that is stronger than the law of sin. The law of sin has dominion in us unless we engage in a more powerful law, the law of the Spirit of life. God provided this more powerful law. We must talk with the Spirit, with Holy Spirit, to most effectively experience this power in our hearts. Our deliverance only comes as we encounter Jesus in an ongoing way by the Spirit. We must have a present tense, vibrant relationship with Holy Spirit, not just past experiences. The law of aerodynamics trumps the law of gravity. The law of the Spirit of life, that indestructible life of Holy Spirit, trumps the law of sin and death every time because of what Jesus did on the cross. Lest we forget. Lest we forget when he said, "It is finished." No longer does death have a hold on us. No longer does sin and that empower or overtake us. And that, but greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And as we realize that, and we allow him to be the hand in our glove, and that as we allow him to fill our life, not just part of it, not just pieces of it, when we allow him to take over, all of a sudden we realize this life and life more abundant than he promised. Oh, it only gets better. It only gets sweeter. But it's based on how much we fellowship with him. It's more than about being okay. It's more about than about just getting to heaven. It's about coming into that sweet place of allowing him to lead us. Allow him to walk with us. I mean, come on, church. If we're really honest, most of us have been saved for a long time that are here. Just pause for a moment. When do you think that you've been most alive? It's been when you've walked in the rhythm of his grace and you've heard Holy Spirit and you start walking with him. It's like, whoa, I can't believe he just used me. Whoa, I can't believe he just let me see that. Whoa. We need those wow moments again in our life to remind us not to get lulled asleep in this rhythm of life, but to come alive. Your best days are ahead of you. They're not behind you. The best days are ahead of you. I saved my best for last, if we would only believe. Holy Spirit, we come and surrender our hearts to you once again. Lord, we come and we ask you, Holy Spirit, would you fill our lives once again? God, Lord, as an act of faith, I put my hands out just as an act of saying, God, would you come and fill me? Fill my life, every cranny, every nook, every place. God, and if there's something that's blocking you, would you come and speak into that area of my life? Your word says, I know your voice. So, Lord, I open my ears and my heart to you right now to hear it. If there's any blockage, would you just speak it in my heart, and Lord, I'll remove it with your help. God, would you just come and fill us? Holy Spirit, come have your way in our lives. Fill up each and every one here today, I pray. Overflowing, Lord, you talk about that joy, that flowing from within, that there's a fountain that just fills us and overflows and keeps spilling forth. May over the overflow of our hearts, may that touch everyone around us, because that well never runs dry, because we fellowship with you all the time, not just once in a while. Help us, Lord, with that. God, I thank you for what you're doing here at Rockliffe. I thank you for what you're doing in each and every one's heart here today. It's not by chance that we're here. It's not by chance that this is exactly what you're trying to speak out to our lives. It's because you're trying to rearrange things in our life, because you said it's only going to get better. Lord, you have so much more that you want us to participate in and be involved in, that you don't want us just to be spectators, but we can actually get on the field. We can actually be a part of what you're doing. So, Lord, we say thank you, God, for the honor and the privilege it is. We don't take it for granted, Lord. We're just but a breath. But we thank you that you no longer call us slaves, but you have adopted us as sons and daughters. And we know our Father's business. We can be a part of his business and what he's doing. So, Lord, I pray you would renew in our hearts once again. Release those dreams and visions you spoke into people's hearts that have just kind of laid dormant. Lord, that joy of the Lord is our strength. It's for those that wait on you. That's when we renew our strength. Lord, we just thank you for what you're speaking into our lives. God, may we not just be hearers of it, But when we chew upon it, may we open our heart upon it, Lord. May we look into your word and see that you're actually trying to lead us. And you want us to walk in the Spirit. This is not a thing just for Rockcliffe. Lord, this is actually your thing for any and every.